Roll another blunt. Yeah.
Okay. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
They'll be back tomorrow. It's Josh and Lance. We were talking about LSU, and they're going to be without Michael Divinity, who is their star linebacker. He has been kicked off the team, and rumor is it's because of pot. And I've never smoked pot before in my life. I'm a square in
never?
That way. Nope, never. Now, I've gotten hopped up on oxys before on accident.
Wait, Oxycontin?
No, sorry. Hydrocodone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Vicodins. Okay. Those are Vicodins.
Yeah, that's a little different. But it was on accident.
Shout out to the pill heads.
Yeah, guys, we do it for you. But I'm not really, like, I drink a lot. But one time, I'd never taken hydrocodone before, and my doctor had prescribed it for something. So I just took three of them. I'm like, I mean, hell, I usually take three.
That's a little heavy on the Vicks. That's a little heavy.
It is. And I can't, and I can understand where heroin people say, yep, you're just chasing that initial high. It freaked me out how awesome it felt. I'm just sitting there on a couch watching TV, and I'm in another world. And like, so this is why I'm afraid to take pills at all now. And now I can see, like, when you watch Drugs, Inc., and you see a guy that's like, I got to get my high, like when you're watching The Wire or something, or a show in Baltimore, which just seems like where heroin's such a big deal. But you watch Drugs, Inc., and there's some guy that's, like, pulling over into some dark neighborhood and getting himself a little heroin so he can get his fix. I can totally see why people have to do that, because you're chasing that initial high, right?
Based on your three Vicodins?
And that's why I said I'm never going to do any of that, because I like to do things like repetitively, right? Yeah. So like if I go eat lunch at Chick-fil-A, I'll probably do it like 4 days in a row.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with Vicodins.
And that's why I don't
do it. That's
called
an addiction.
And that's exactly. And that's why I don't do it. But people always say, you know, heroin's addictive and this is addictive. But pot is not a gateway drug. Like if you're a guy, and let's say that this Michael Divinity did get popped for smoking pot, and they eventually said, you've done it too much, we got to go. If that's the reason, like he just keeps failing drug tests. If that's the case, I don't buy it when people tell me that pot isn't addictive in some way, because this guy's probably, I mean, you're the draft guy. Where would, like Michael Divinity, you haven't watched a ton of him, but Michael Divinity, a linebacker from LSU, is probably a top three round pick, right? Just by being a linebacker at LSU.
Maybe. I watched him, so I paid close attention to. So here's the thing. Divinity's the outside linebacker, right? The pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't super impressed with him against Sam Cosmi from Texas, but I think he would have been a day three pick.
Yeah. So he's a draft pick anyway. I mean, he's virtually, if you play defense, at LSU, you'll get drafted somewhere,
yes,
right?
Yes, he would have been a draft pick.
So this guy knows that he's going to get drafted, and he knows that you're playing Bama. And I don't know when the drug test, in this hypothetical situation, when the drug test
happened.
How
did you get kicked out before Bama?
How? Like, it takes a lot for a coach to have to kick player off the damn team. So, like, how? Like, I've never smoked pot before, so I don't know what it does. I'm sure it helps with your anxiety, I'm sure. Or maybe it heightens your anxiety in some cases. But a lot of people do it instead of pills because, listen, if you're in the NFL, would you rather guys get hopped up on Vicodins for their whole life or smoke pot?
Pot's
the better
one,
way to go, right?
Right.
But like, how hard is it for you to just put down the blunt for 4 months and play football and go get rich in the NFL? There's something about pot that just must be so fantastic that you have to do it, even though it's going to cost you the Bama game, and it may cost the team the Bama game. Like, it's selfish. When I think of that, like, you can't stop blowing twerd, and you can't stop smoking, and it's going to cut. And I know it's an antiquated term, and I apologize. I'm not up on my hip pot lingo. I apologize. But when you think of that, there must be something about this pot that is so special and so amazing that you can't stop smoking it for 4 months to play at LSU and then go pro. That's the part I don't get. Should it be legal? Sure. I have nothing against it, but it's not. And at LSU, it must have been a rule, and we're assuming here, but we've heard stuff about it. So how? How do you do that? Help me figure that out.
I don't know.
If it's not addictive, then just stop it for 4 months.
So this is the thing. I think there is a psychological addiction. But the other thing is, it's a crutch, whatever the case may be. But I do believe that something must be going on here. Either he hit a threshold where it was a mandatory, which means he's got clipped a ton, if that's the case. Or there's something else at play here for him to get kicked out before an Alabama game.
Does anybody in this room smoke pot? Do any of you smoke pot? I won't tell. Does anybody?
I used to regularly.
You used to regularly. Yeah. Did you feel like, were you addicted to it?
No.
Not really.
Did you need it? Mm. Well, what did it do for you? Was it just to kind of enjoy yourself a little bit more? Or was it, hey, I have bad anxiety, so I need it there?
Zone out.
To zone out. So, yeah. Like, for me, like, I have... Not like anxiety, like I think I'm dying, but right. I'm just always thinking. Like mm-hmm. my mind doesn't stop, and there's kind of an anxiety. Like, what if this happens? What if this happens? I'm kind of an odd cat. Would pot potentially help me out there?
I don't think your personality would.
No, yeah, it depends on the strain of weed, though.
So you got
it could heighten all the bad stuff.
Well, if Mr. Gal,
you'd need he'd need not sativa, he'd need the indica.
Yeah, indica, indica couch.
Okay. In the couch, yeah.
Hey, one fine of the, with me. Yeah. So let's say that Mr. Gal, or David, if you're close, let's say Mr. David Gal came to you and said, you were smoking pot at the time, and he said, could you stop, if you just stop smoking the reefer, okay, you will be, you're taking Lance's job, we're sick of him. You're going to work that half hour on the air that Lance doesn't work. You're going to work from 9:30 to 10.
Nice.
And we're going to pay you well for it. Could you stop smoking pot?
Yeah.
In that moment.
However, to be fair to people who just gas out all the time, to be fair to Divinity,
mm-hmm.
what if they said, because I like a good barbecue. I like a good sweet. I'm not afraid to indulge in the food side.
Okay.
What if somebody said, all right, you the same thing to you
mm-hmm.
or to me or whoever or Tyler,
mm-hmm.
but you have to cut out. Whatever food that you always had.
Okay, so your favorite food.
Yeah.
But you haven't always had pot. I mean, that it's not like you were born or like you're 5 years old and you're smoking
pot.
No, but
what's the difference? If you are really, really into it and you use it every single day.
I could do it. Absolutely, I could. Well, like you say, Josh, don't go to Chick-fil-A for 4 months.
Okay,
I won't go to Chick-fil-A for 4 months if it means I'm going pro.
What if they said you can't? What if they said you can't have carbs?
Well, look at me.
I'm asking.
Do you think I could live without carbs?
No, that's what I'm saying. But what if
I would try?
What if they said for 4 months you can't have carbs?
I think I could do it.
Maybe that's like for somebody smoking weed. They say for 4 months you can't. Now,
but that's what I'm saying. But again, that's making my point. When people say pot's not addictive, well, obviously there's something where this guy, if this is the case, felt like he needed this and he couldn't stop.
Psychological.
Carbs aren't physically
addictive either. But you.
But damn, I love
like
fries.
I know.
And you know what my favorite carb treat is? This is a random one. You guys go to Texas Roadhouse? I don't know. I love Texas Roadhouse, right? Like mid-level steak. House, right? The bread. I like to go in there and they got the rolls.
You sound like Trump.
Let me tell you something right now. The bread. It is incredible. The bread's a big fan
of
Trump.
It's the hard D. That's what it is.
The bread. It's a big fan of Trump. The bread at Texas Roadhouse voted for Trump. Loves Trump.
No, but I do. I love that bread. It's the with the honey butter, cinnamon butter, you dip. Like, I don't even take the bread and put
it. Oh, that's not real bread. They have a honey butter, the cinnamon butter?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that changes. That's not even just bread.
But
that's
you can
treat.
See, but that's treat.
A treat.
But you can see why it would be hard to give it up.
So you know
if you said, hey, don't screw over your team, then I'd stop eating the cinnamon bread.
So you know what I did? Probably about a month ago, I stopped in
mm-hmm.
at my man Michael's at Pete's Fine Meats. You go to Pete's Fine Meats, don't you?
How fine are these meats?
I've been there.
These
like,
meats
sometimes.
Are really fine.
Are we talking about like some, they have like
really
deer,
good.
Like some venison?
Oh, yeah.
A little backstrap?
Oh, he's got,
I love. I don't know anything about hunting,
he's
but I know backstrap.
Picanha, he's got the, yeah, he's got the tri-tip, the trim briskets, he's got
ooh,
the
like
Wagyu
that.
Briskets, he's got everything.
The one thing
Pete's Fine Meats has fine meats.
Let me tell you. I did
steaks just yesterday.
As someone who had had 8 months to do nothing, I go sample a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I go to all these different barbecue joints, just get different meats. I love
there's
that
some
part
good
didn't
ones
suck.
Here.
I like a good meat.
Tyler, you know,
I love meat.
Tyler's a food guy.
The owner of Truth was here today. He was
the owner of Truth
Eric's
Barbecue
podcast.
Was here? Really?
Yeah.
But they didn't bring food.
Barbecue.
No,
Truth,
he didn't bring food. He
I used
didn't
to
bring
drive
food.
My fat
I
ass.
I no longer care.
I used to drive my fat ass all the way out to Brenham, which is where their original location is, and now they've opened up one right down there off of Washington.
So I still haven't been to Truth, and I've heard it is the truth.
It's amazing. Let me tell you a couple of bars. And I know that these are probably not sponsors, but who cares? Is Truth a sponsor? Maybe.
No,
I
you can
know.
Talk about
they
the barbecue. Okay,
I don't know. So I Truth is good. My favorite barbecue in town is Corkscrew. It's out in Old Town Spring.
So, yeah.
I love that.
You got to go way out there.
I'm drawing a blank on the name of it now. It's my buddy, Pinkerton's.
Grant Pinkerton has
that dude
a hell
is a
of
legend.
A brisket.
Here's one thing he posted on his Twitter once. In Missouri, there's a delicacy in Missouri called pork steaks.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
The really kind of thin shoulder of a... It's really cheap, and it's kind of like, hey, we're poor, so we're having pork steaks for dinner tonight. Right. St. Louis, kind of a Missouri thing. He had a pork steak on there once. You know, Grant Pinkerton's legendary. This guy always... And we go over there once a month or so and go get some food there.
Young guy.
He is. And I think he lives above the barbecue joint. Yeah, like, I think his house... Like, talk about a business. You just live above there. I mean, it's amazing.
So
anyway, Ragels
is one of my favorite. Patrick Feegis and Aaron Feegis over here in the Greenway Plaza area. Ragels off of Voss and
Blood Brothers.
Blood Brothers is fantastic. Blood Brothers didn't make. So I was at Riel with the chef, like him, Ryan Lachane, and but it was after they were done, and we were just I just went in there to have some drinks. And
you know what I want to do? Sorry to interrupt. I want to do like a meat challenge. Like I want to go. Like where is it? Santa Fe, where there's like a 70 something ounce steak that you have to eat.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Here's my.
No, they got one in in Lubbock too.
See, I have Amarillo. Yeah, that's what it is. Here's
Amarillo
the thing.
Or Lubbock. One of them.
I want to have like it's a weird thing. I want my picture on the wall for eating something. Like I can't. I mean, look at me. I don't have a radio job anymore, so
challenge.
I don't have any like ratings to fall back. I just want my picture on the wall for eating something.
So that like, I would assume that some kind of barbecue place could hook up some kind of mega plate.
Yes, now but
that's expensive though.
Like I don't want to eat some giant hamburger or something with a bunch of stuff on it.
Like something that Andrew Zimmerman or Man vs. Food.
I don't want that.
Not one of those.
All I want is the opportunity to just eat a lot of brisket or ribs or turkey or something.
Yeah,
like
it's called the American Dream. What are you talking?
I want
a job where I can eat barbecue all day.
I didn't say it was a
get
job.
In line.
I didn't
get
want
in line.
A job.
All of us
I
do.
I want my picture
get
on the
line.
Wall. That's all I want.
I want that to be my job.
Because I can't have a sandwich named after me because I don't really eat anything on my sandwiches. I'm a child. You know, so I eat a lot of plain stuff.
Are you picky eater, Pete?
No, I just don't like cheese, so I'm off to a bad start already, or mayonnaise or anything. God, if I like mayonnaise,
mustard?
I look like a house. Like,
mustard?
The only reason... Nope, don't like mustard. I like ketchup, but not on a sandwich. I'm a child.
What?
I'm
what, Patrick Mahomes. What kind of sandwich do you eat?
I like a sandwich with meat and bread on it.
Oh, my... You're still...
I'm a child.
You're
I'll,
not
I'll
seven?
Have provolone. I'll have provolone. I'll have provolone sometimes. It depends on the sandwich. Yours are good sandwich. Have you been to a place called Lola in the Heights? Nice little place. They have a day after Thanksgiving sandwich.
I think I have. Yeah, yeah. They do
turkey,
breakfast stuff too,
they
right?
Do.
Yeah.
And it's turkey, it's stuffing, and it's cranberry sauce, and you dip it in gravy. That's a sandwich,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah.
That's a fat man special.
I can
special.
Make that myself at home.
I know you. You can make a lot of things.
I have made it. Only I put it in dinner rolls that are left over. I've made that since I was 12. Oh, look, corn. I can add some corn to it. Oh, look here. Green beans. A green bean casserole. That's called a Thanksgiving sandwich.
It is. They call it the day after Thanksgiving sandwich.
That does sound
good.
Some
places call it the gobbler. I mean, it's just different names.
That does sound good.
If you have a place where I can get my picture on the wall for eating a lot of meat, let me know. All right, we're back after this.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Josh and Lance in for Fred and A.J. today. So we were talking about the Rockets during the break, and they lost by like 30, and they were down by seemingly 50. And I love the people that want to fire D'Antoni over this. Like, let me ask you a question about coaches in the NBA. So Steve Kerr's the way they're shaping up in I guess San Francisco now, they may lose 60 games. So Steve Kerr, do you really feel
fall
like,
into a really good player again?
Probably. Do you believe that Steve Kerr was some sort of great coach and that's why they won all these games and now suddenly he sucks? No, it's because, first of all, he's not a great coach because really great coaches also don't exist in basketball outside of like Greg Popovich. Like, here's a question. How many times in the last, I don't know, 20 years did a team win and you felt, yeah, I think the coach had a lot to do with that?
Yeah.
Like, do you really believe Eric Spoelstra meant anything to the Heat?
I think on certain teams, the coaches, like I think Brad Stevens had a high level of impact on the Celtics early on. And then when Kyrie got there, I think it just changed to where he probably lost a lot of that influence.
I think so. But like
Popovich.
But Popovich is probably the greatest coach of the generation.
Yes.
But he's also never really had to do it with jump.
What about
either.
Jerry Sloan?
I like so, but again, I'm going to go to a different generation though. Let's stick in like this current, like where it's like three superstars on a
team. But now, but players have fundamentally changed where they have all the power.
Well, that's what
the
I'm
coaches,
saying.
The coaches are never going to have the same level.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of these teams, like, do you really believe that if you fired Mike D'Antoni, another coach would take James Harden to a championship? No, because ultimately it has to be one with Harden or Westbrook.
Harden is yes,
and or like Steve Kerr. Like, let's say you took Steve Kerr and Steve Kerr were the coach of the Rockets today. He's won multiple championships with Golden State. Do you believe that Steve Kerr, who is one of the more successful coaches of the last decade, would he win bigger with the Rockets?
Yes, if he could get the Rockets to and James Harden to buy
and
in.
James Harden,
it only matters if James Harden buys in. That's all.
The leopard in the spots, right? He ain't changing his spots. He is who he is. Right. He's not going to change who he is. And you can
That's
say
a pretty big sample size, by the way.
Correct. I mean, what, he got here in 12, 13? So he's been here for 6, 7 seasons. And before that, he was in the league for a couple. He is who he is. He's not going to change, and Westbrook's not going to change. This is who they are. So it doesn't matter who the coach is. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up disappointed if you're a Rockets fan because they're going to do the same stuff they always do. And we used to have this discussion on 790 before I'd get in trouble and they'd make me stop. But we would talk about James Harden. I don't know if there's a more polarizing superstar player in his city than Harden is here. Because I could argue that if you just split it 50, probably 50-50 people that love Harden and think he's the greatest and others that just don't believe they're ever going to win with him. Is 50-50 fair? Is 60-40 in favor of Harden
higher.
Fair?
It's higher. It's higher in Harden's favor. We John and I have talked about this. In our bubble, it feels like it's 50-50, 60-40. Sure. But there is such a huge contingent of fans who are not like who just buy in and which is fine. I mean, you don't have to all. It's fine if you want to be all in and pom poms sure. and all that stuff. I think it's real. I think it's probably closer to 70-75. Yeah, I think it's higher 25? Than you think.
I can't see that.
I think it's higher than you think.
But I think part of
I think
this
for most
we
superstars
see
it is.
Well, who do we hear from the most? Social media, and that's where you're most.
That's where the negative. Yes.
So that's like where the positive is. Actually, that's to me like your I think for like the Rockets, especially, you get your fanboys on Twitter and Facebook. Like the average Joe, that's some 40-year-old dude's probably not on Twitter every day talking about the Rockets, but he's probably sitting at home going, "Yeah, I really prefer the days of Hakeem and all these other guys as opposed to this because I don't believe in Harden." I think there's a lot of people that don't believe in Harden. I'm one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of them. I think he's a phenomenal talent, but if you tell me, okay, can you win a championship with him?
Not as the main guy, he's never going to settle for being the
number. How do I buy into that?
And why would James Harden want a new coach if this offense has been built for him to score 40 every night? Just dribble around for 20 seconds and shoot.
Right.
So, there's a bunch of hypocrisies, and I get it. Fans and media people can be hypocritical. But, like, you want me to believe the Rockets are going to win the title now because they have Westbrook, the same guy that Daryl Morey for years told me was an inefficient player and was inferior to James Harden and really just wasn't worthy of the MVP. So now that he plays here, you want me to believe that he's great? You want me to believe that he's going to fit right in? This guy who you said was a stat whore and was inefficient is now going to help you win a championship.
Well, that does look hypocritical.
Of course it does.
However, I will say, I think Russell, in general, so far, small sample size, has been pretty consistent and played pretty well off the ball. Now, what's going to happen, I think Russell's going to play really nice for a large portion of this first year. At some point, however... They're going to come to a fork in the road where he says, I should have the ball late right now. I'm having a much better game. In his mind, he's a true alpha who wants the ball and wants control. James wants the ball and wants control. At some point, the two of them, I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's in the first half of the season, the second half. Maybe it's not until next year, the way Clyde and Charles had their beef in year two. But at some point, things are going to come to a head. I feel extremely confident that that's going to happen.
You know, it would surprise people the kind of divisive issues that exist in fan bases. Like if you were a fan, if you're someone who's not from Philadelphia, you wouldn't think that there was a large portion of the fan base that just hated Donovan McNabb. Because from afar, you'd go, guy went to 5 conference championship games and a Super Bowl. And up until, I'd still say he's the best quarterback they've ever had there. I know that Foles won it and they all love him. But you could argue he is the most successful quarterback that they've ever had for an extended period of time. And it's 50-50. People hate him. You know, it's just funny in certain cities where you think it's a no-brainer that this guy should be beloved. And they go, no. I mean, there's coaches. People go to Philly, and I have that point of reference because I work there, bragging. But I work there. And they love Buddy Ryan, hated Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, Andy Reid went to 5 conference championship games, went to the Super Bowl. Buddy Ryan just picked fights with the Cowboys. Yeah, but he was Philly. He got it. Like, that's kind of like Bum. Bum, I mean, I know they went to the AFC championship game a couple of times. But, you know, you look at Bum, and he gets a different kind of admiration. He didn't win a Super Bowl, and neither did Kubiak, or neither did... go down to any of the other party or any of the other Oilers coaches. He won a Super Bowl.
Anybody ever Houston. There. That's all you had to say. No coach ever Houston Super Bowl.
Correct, but he's beloved. It's just funny how beloved, different cities view people. Because from afar, you think, boy, people would love blank coach. No, we hate him here.
Did they love, in hindsight, Andy Reid?
No, I don't think they do at all. Like, I think it's 50-50.
Because they just felt like he was... You know what they probably felt like? He was like a James Harden for them, where... Great regular season coach, came up short when they really wanted it.
That's more McNabb, you know, the worm burners and couldn't make the big throws and threw up in the Super Bowl. And, you know, that's kind of. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up after this, right? Because we got, what do we have coming up? Football?
Yeah. Cowboys, Giants.
Oh, Monday night.
Let's go,
football.
Giants.
All right. Stay there.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN. 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Wrapping things up today, Josh and Lance in for The Blitz. They'll be back tomorrow. As we figured out today, I want my face on a wall somewhere for some sort of meat challenge. And the Texans could go to the AFC Championship game. This is what we've learned today. Right now, gun to your head, who's a better team? Is it the Ravens or the Texans?
I think Ravens.
Just I agree. Because they're more defensively.
They're structurally better defensively.
And foundation of the team in general.
But I do trust. See, here's the thing. Speed doesn't slump. Mm-hmm. And so the big concern is, and we've got a quarterback in Houston who can run well and is dangerous and can make a bunch of plays. The thing is, when they say speed doesn't slump, a guy like Lamar Jackson, when he gets outside of the pocket, I don't care how he's been throwing all day long, he could hit a 76-yard touchdown.
He could, but remember, and this is last year, obviously, but that playoff game, I forgot who they played, but he was awful.
He was
terrible. And now they made the game close.
Yeah, it was a rookie. Was a big play.
Correct.
Right.
But like when they line up in 2 weeks, and I don't know what the line is going to be. I think Vegas will be kind of hyped up on the fact that they beat the Patriots, and that's going to be in Baltimore. Take a guess. 2 weeks out, what is the line going to be? Texans, Ravens in Baltimore. I would say Ravens minus 6.5,
ooh,
more.
Too high? Yeah, too high.
Minus 4?
So
3.5?
Okay, so the Patriots, let's say they were 3 on a neutral field. They were 3 there on a neutral field. It would have been 6. Patriots 6 on a neutral field. Patriots against the Texans on a neutral field would probably be 8.5. So I'll make it the Ravens 3.
3?
Yep.
Even though we both admit, say their defense is considerably better. Mm-hmm. Is it considerably better or better?
Well, I think it's considerably better.
Okay. So
their cornerbacks. I mean, they got Marcus Peters and frickin'...
And I couldn't name the guys the Texans have.
Marlon Humphrey. But the Texans will have their corners back. They might be 3.5 to 4. I don't think it's going to be a lot, though.
And do you believe they can go to Baltimore and win that game?
Yeah, I do.
I do, too.
The Texans tend to rise to the occasion of the team they're playing, usually.
Well, they did
in the regular
Kansas
season.
City. Yeah.
Yeah, they do have, and Deshaun's game elevates. I mean, this is really going to be this is the BMF title. Forget Masvidal versus Diaz for the BMF Bad Mother Bleeper title that they created. This is for the BMF title right now of young quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson.
That's I agree. The BMF and I would take title. Watson. But like, imagine if Watson played for the Ravens.
I would too, but I'm not excited about going against Lamar Jackson.
Let's put it this way. If you switched them, if you put Deshaun with Baltimore, would they be the favorite to win the Super Bowl? And where they go to obviously there's the Patriots, but they beat him without him, right? They beat him with Lamar Jackson, and obviously it's a different offense. But like, if you were to take Lamar Jackson and put him on the Texans, how much better or worse would the Texans be?
You know,
I don't think they're that much better.
But
if better at all.
Great, like, you don't have great receivers over there. With
But he doesn't throw the ball particularly well.
Who's that?
Lamar. I mean, he's not great.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that it's not like there would be, like Deshaun, there's a reason for Deshaun to elevate that offense beyond what he does with Houston.
But let's just switch him, right? So, and I agree with you, but he's a baller. So if you put Deshaun Watson on Baltimore, they probably win 13 games.
So he's going to be more consistent than Lamar Jackson.
Just team-wise, do you believe that Baltimore is a better team? If they had Lamar Jackson, who they have now, or Deshaun, would they be better with Deshaun, basically?
I think they would be there would be a greater opportunity to get to a Super Bowl with Deshaun. Right now.
And that would lead you to say the Texans would not be better if they had Lamar. So the better quarterback of those guys, I think we both agree, is Deshaun.
Yes, but on any given Sunday, the guy who is the one who could go off for the biggest day, I'm not sure it's not Lamar Jackson.
I think it's been boring me about the Texans, kind of, and at least they're winning. I feel like those big plays aren't there. Like, it's just kind of clinical almost.
When no Will Fuller, it disappears.
Correct.
It completely disappears.
And, like, they won, so you're not going to be mad, but it's just kind of like, that's why I think people, at least I do, get kind of bored watching them, is it's just kind of clinical, just kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. The running game's been outstanding, too. I mean, you look at the two guys running the rock, in particular, Hyde, who's been great.
It's been fantastic. Duke and Hyde.
I like that combo a lot.
It's way better than Lamar, Miller, and anyone else.
Yep. So we got to get out of here in 2 minutes. Cowboys going to win tonight?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Would you take Cowboys or Eagles in the East?
I can't. You know what? The Eagles almost screwed out off the game yesterday against the Bears.
Yeah.
I watched that one, and the Bears had a great opportunity.
Multiple times.
And they screwed it up. I just don't feel like the juice is there with the Eagles right now.
I would go Cowboys. Do you know that the Eagles haven't beaten the Cowboys since they won the Super Bowl? I think they've lost like five games in a row to the Cowboys.
Really?
Some dumb number. And I don't think the Cowboys are great, but I think the Eagles, once they start facing quarterbacks again, when they're not facing Trubisky and Josh Allen, mm-hmm. I think they'll start tailing off defensively again.
Did you have fun today?
I did. This is the first time
I've
been
nervous?
On the radio.
Are you done being nervous?
I'm done being nervous, and I'm less hyper. But man,
did
when
you
I was
taking
shot
any last
like,
shots, anyone?
No. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to do that.
All
you know
right.
what?
Look
gonna
at you taking
I'm
the higher
take
road.
The high road today.
Look at you.
Well, at some point today. Don't forget my podcast, though. You can search Josh Ennis Show on iTunes and Google Play and YouTube and all that stuff. So yeah, this was fun. It's like we never didn't. Well, it's not like we ever worked together to begin with, but look at that. Just we rock and roll. Here we are.
There you go.
Here at Mr. David Gow's radio establishment, his media empire of print and radio and network radio and everything. What a day to be alive, just back on the radio again. So thanks to AJ, by the way. I appreciate AJ for asking me to do it. And here we are now. I finally got back on the radio. Could be the last time I'm ever on the radio. You never know. We'll put this on cassette, and I'll have it forever.
Thanks to Tyler for handling the board today.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Tyler.
I'm Lance Zierlein. Coming up next, you got Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants. Cowboys about a little touchdown favorite. We'll see how it jumps off.
Okay. Yeah, I think Cowboys are going to win. It's going to come down to Cowboys. They're going to win that division, too. All right, we're getting out of here. The guys will be back. Fred and AJ back tomorrow. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.